Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. Along with many special guests, we look into the strengths and weaknesses of local communities. Did you know that the strength of a community comes from the strength of its people? This radio broadcast is a grassroots project to build communities one person at a time. This Katrina has been through a hurricane myself. Through my journey, I continually meet people who are just like me, and I want to share our lives and our experiences with you. We're all learning on this journey. And why not learn from one another and help encourage and build one another to build a strong community? Listen right here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. on Katrina.com. You'll be inspired. If you'd like to give us a call during the show, our number is 1-877-598-8549. That's 877-598-8549. Join in with us through Facebook or through our online chat here. Now, it's time for Community Radio. Welcome to Community Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We are so happy that you're with us tonight and joining us for another episode of the Community Radio program, serving not just Virginia, but now our entire United States. Of course, with us being a World Wide Web show, we do cover the United States and other countries as well. And so, not to make our guests a little nervous tonight, but you never know who's listening to you and what they can learn from your experiences and from your conversations. So we're really excited to have you with us tonight on the show. Those of you who are listening, I can guarantee you, you will have a great show and you will learn a lot from this week's show. Tonight, we are excited to have three guests on with us tonight. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's five, sometimes it's one. It depends on what we're talking about and how long the topic needs to be. So we don't want to bore you to death, but we do want to share with you a mirage of different things that people always have so many stories to share and experiences in their life. And people are involved in so many different things. I tell you, to be honest with you, we get more requests for people to be on the show than we can almost handle. And in fact, many, many times people have asked us, can you do it every night? I don't think I could swing doing the journal and everything else we're doing and doing a radio show every evening. But, you know, who knows what the future might hold. Right now, we're going to stick to Thursday night at 8 o'clock. So you just continue to tell your friends and your neighbors. You can get the link always at www.thecommunityjournal.us. Also, at my Katrina.com site, www.katrina.com, the link is always there. You can always go back and listen to past episodes. And those of you who might have friends and neighbors who are not Internet savvy and they don't listen to us by the Internet, they can always call in to our number, which is 1-877-598-8549, and listen to the show on their phone. So there is a multitude of options to be able to listen to the show when we're broadcasting live and also go back and listen to it in archive, too. Tonight, we have Mr. Perry Shelton, who's going to be on the show with us tonight. He actually is a trainer for VHDA, First-Time Home Buyers Group, and we're going to talk about what you need to know before you buy or build or refinance your home. In a little bit, we're going to bring on Mr. Larry Nordvig, who is from Powhatan, Virginia, and he's actually running as a candidate for the Powhatan County Board of Supervisors, District 2. Special election's coming up February 10th, and so we're going to have him on, ask him some questions about his stand, what he's running on, some things that he might be concerned about in the community and how he can help the people in the community. Then we're going to bring on, a little bit later on in the show, Vietnam veteran Terry Sharp, and where he's going to talk to us about a third walk that he and Mr. Brown are going to do in February to talk about bringing awareness along with 2 million bikers that will be holding a rally in King, North Carolina. Now, they walked from North Carolina to Washington, D.C. back in the fall and close to, you know, October, November to bring awareness to Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi and to try to get him released from the Mexico prison. And because of their walk and because of what they have done, they along with a lot of other people in the country, were able to continue to bring that awareness, and he did get released from prison. So Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown are actually going to walk again in February, and I could tell you, because of who we've worked with in the past and how it happened on the last walk, the more exposure, the more people that know about it, the more people that bring it up in the media, it definitely works to bring awareness and get that word out there to people. So we're really excited to have Marine Sharp on the phone with us tonight in a little while. He's going to be on in about 30, 45 minutes. So stay tuned, those of you that are listening. We've got a great show ahead, and we really look forward to the show tonight. And you can call in anytime during the show if you would like to ask any of our guests any questions. It's 1-877-598-8549. In the beginning of the show, I want to share with you that we are continually bringing on guests for the show and also articles for the journal. I will tell you, we're changing our process a little bit with the journal because we're getting inundated with so many articles and so many stories that we're going to have to tighten our reins a little bit when it comes to getting information in the journal. We're going to have to cut our articles down a little bit because the paper is growing by leaps and bounds. We actually are covering the entire state of Virginia this week. We print. We can actually should be able to pick up and deliver tomorrow, so we're really looking forward to picking up this month's edition of the journal and getting it out. We are covering this week 95 counties in the state of Virginia. That's incredible. We're really excited about that. And we are working towards, in the next 30 days, actually a little bit less, we should go on live with every county in every state in the United States. So that's incredible. We're just so thankful for the blessings that that has been able to come on board for us this week. And so lots of things are happening, and we're excited about that. So keep on sending your articles and keep on sending your things, but we're going to have to tighten up on our deadlines a little bit because we just have to stay on target. I want to go straight to the air, though, tonight and talk to Mr. Perry Shelton. Are you with me tonight?
I am. Good evening.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us. I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about you and your experience, and then I've got some hot questions for you about financing.
I appreciate that. First off, let me thank you for inviting me on the show. I'm a huge fan, and it's great for me to be able to get on the show and speak to you. I'm glad to hear the show is doing so well, and hopefully we'll be able to help as many people as we can when you go national with it. That being said, a little bit about me. I've been in the mortgage industry for over 10 years now, and I've probably done about 5,000 loans and helped 5,000 families be able to either purchase a home, refinance a home, or be able to reduce their interest rates over the years. And I've learned a lot of things in the industry that have been able to help me help other families. And one of the things that I'm so passionate about is education and teaching. And that's what I like to do, is volunteer my time to be able to help individuals and give back to the community and do the first-time homebuyer classes. So I've put together a lot of classes through VHGA's first-time homebuyer class. And we've been able to help a lot of families by doing that, educating them on what they need to know so that they can navigate those landmines and not have to worry about running into any hurdles, speed bumps, or hiccups whenever they are looking to purchase a home, sell their home, or refinance their home.
Now, you work for CNF Bank, is that correct?
I do. I work for C&F Mortgage,
mm-hmm.
which is an affiliate with C&F Bank.
Mm-hmm. And you did you decide to start these classes and these training sessions on your own? I know you do it as a volunteer. Tell us a little bit about how that works and how the program works to help people learn more about financing and mortgage 101.
Well, VHTA has been doing the first-time homebuyer classes for a long time,
mm-hmm.
probably over about 12, 13 years now. And I've partnered with them to be able to schedule my own classes. As for C&F Mortgage, I am the only mortgage loan officer that does those classes, and a lot of the counties don't have the presence that they need to be able to help first-time homebuyers get the education that they need. So I found that by me doing the classes in Chesterfield County, we've got a lot of families coming from Powhatan, Hopewell, Henrico, Petersburg, Richmond City, and I even have somebody come into the class this Saturday that's going to be coming from the Hampton and Newport News area because they weren't able to find a class in their area. So
wow.
It is something that I started on my own. I do volunteer a lot of my time, and I'm just happy to give back whenever I can. As for the second part of your question, when you ask me about what the class entails, I can give you a little bit of detail of what to expect if you were to come to one of the classes. I taught with four different instructors that I have that I've partnered with to be able to volunteer their time, and there's six different topics that you're going to learn if you decide to come to the first-time homebuyer class. Those topics consist of working with the lender, what to expect whenever you work with a lender, and how to choose a lender, roles of the real estate agent, how to leverage your real estate agent to maximize your buying power, and how to choose a real estate agent, a buying agent versus a selling agent, home inspection, how to work with an inspector, what you need to be looking for whenever you choose an inspector, and what an inspector charges, loan closing documents. In this day and age, with all of the regulations that the federal government has put into place for fair lending laws to protect the consumers, there are a lot of documents that you're going to have to sign. So we go over most of the documents in class. Personal finances, we want to make sure that you're prepared and understand what you're going to be getting yourself into whenever you buy a home so that if this isn't right for you, at least you have the information available to you so you can make an informed decision if it's ready for you to buy. And you can prepare yourself in the future to buy. And then lastly but not least, credit reporting, which is one of the most sought-after classes that we teach. And we talk about how the credit reporting agencies report on your credit. We talk about how to improve your credit and Fair Credit Reporting Act. And a lot of people get a lot of information out of the credit reporting portion of it. So we've got four instructors that teach that. We've actually got licensed attorneys that come in and volunteer their time to teach the loan closing documents. We've got an inspector in the business for over 30 years that teaches the home inspection portion. And I've even got a credit restoration specialist person that comes in and teaches with me and helps individuals if they need help to repair the credit. So there's a lot that goes on in the class.
Well, and there's so many parts of building a home or buying a home or even refinancing or selling a home, too. I know you were explaining to me yesterday, you know, there's so many things that y'all can actually help people as well when they're getting ready to sell their home and possibly then refinance that money somewhere else or maybe put it in some type of savings or something to prepare for them to buy another home in the future or build. And the home inspection is so important on both sides, whether you're selling or whether you're buying. Tell us a little bit about that, how a lot of people are not very well versed in that aspect of it, and that could be very critical to the sale or the purchase of the home.
Well, everybody's situation is a little bit different, and as a lender, it's important for us to look at everybody not through tunnel vision, but definitely look at a broad brushstroke and see what the individual is looking to accomplish, whether or not they're refinancing their home or they're looking to purchase a home, or in some cases, people who are looking to upgrade to a bigger home because their family's growing, or even
mm-hmm.
downgrade because their home is either too big or they're their family has gone off to college and they've moved out, and some parents have that empty nest syndrome, and they want to reduce the size of their home, or even some people that have come to the finalization of their employment and they've realized, hey, you know, we need to go ahead and reduce the size of the house, so they want to sell their old home and purchase a new home. A lot of the things we teach in the class transition from not just buying a home, but also the things that you're going to need to know whenever you're looking to refinance your home or purchase your home or sell your home in the future. That being said, when you come to the class, you're going to get a lot of material. You're going to get a book that you're going to be able to keep with you. I call it the home buying Bible. We're going to give to you, and you're going to be able to reference that information that whenever you choose a lender to refinance your home later on in the future, you'll be able to look back on it, because the same documents that you're going to be signing for the most part when you purchase a home, you'll be signing those when you refinance the home, like your truth in lending statement or your good faith estimate or your TIL. Those things are pretty much going to be standard. But some of the other things you learn in the class that are going to reflect whether or not you feel confident on getting a good deal with refinancing your home, we're going to talk about how to choose a lender. When you're choosing a lender, what the difference between a direct lender is, or the difference between a broker and the difference between a correspondent lender. And depending upon who you choose could save you thousands of dollars a year, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime. So it's important to understand the correlation between those three, and then also be able to apply that later on in life whenever you choose to upgrade or downgrade or refinance, because most people do. The national average is every 5 years, 80% of homeowners either purchase a home, refinance a home, sell a home, or consolidate debt or take money out of their home so that they can make home improvements, and that's the national average. So it's important to understand these things. I really wish that this would be taught in our education system, and I know that we really don't have time to get everything we need taught in school today, but I think it's important for people to understand annual percentage rates, what closing costs are, what an amortization schedule is on your mortgage. That if you buy a home for $130,000 and you choose to pay on that mortgage for 30 years, you're probably going to pay $260,000 for the home over the course of 30 years. So it's a big difference in perception of what people think they're paying and actually what they're getting, and it's important for them to learn that.
The classes that you're holding are in the Central Virginia area. They're in Chesterfield, and are you doing any out here in Powhatan, or are they all in Chesterfield and Richmond right now?
Well, the classes that I teach two classes a month. I've found that a lot of people that can make one class, they may not be able to make the other class. The classes that I teach in Chesterfield are at our headquarters building at C&F Mortgage. They're taught there in my office. We have a boardroom that I set up, and we teach the class there off of Alversa Drive. And then I've also partnered with Chesterfield County Libraries. And all of the libraries have asked me once a month to come to the libraries and teach this class at their branch. So I do a class once a month on Saturday.
Okay.
The classes are 6 hours long. It's a lot of information
free.
To take.
And there's no obligation and there's no fee.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the sad part is, a lot of times when people hear the word free, they associate that with something that's not good.
Right.
But I can tell you that we do surveys at the end of our classes because we're required to by VHDA, and I've got 100% ratio of everybody thanking me for the class and telling me that it was one of the most wonderful 6 hours of their time, and they'll be able to apply this information to the rest of their lives, and they really wish that they didn't have to wait this long in their life to be able to find this stuff out, because if they'd have known it long ago, it would have saved them so much money. So it is free. I've got a bunch of dates here. We're doing about 32 classes this year, and we've got classes usually on the first or second Monday and Tuesday night from 6 to 9 p.m. and that's held at my office in my building. And then once a month, usually the third Saturday of the month, the classes are from 10 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. at one of the local libraries. And this information is posted on Chesterfield County Public Library also.
Uh-huh. Well, and I was looking at your website, too. Where can people get the flyers? Now, I've got the flyer. I'm actually going to post them on our Facebook page for the radio show. Is there somewhere online that people can download the flyer?
Well, I don't have a website that they can download the flyer, but if somebody's looking for the flyer, I'd be happy to get the flyers out to them. I've
okay.
got two flyers, one for the Saturday classes and then one for the evening classes. If they wanted to send me an email, I'll be happy to respond back with the PDF document.
Okay.
My email address is pshelton@cfmortgagecorp.com.
Okay.
Or if they wanted to give me a call and speak to me about it, I'd be happy to touch base with them. The number to my office is 804-858-8370, and we can definitely get that email out to them as quickly as possible.
And we're going to post them on the Facebook page tonight, too, so it would be easy for people to be able to download them. And there are so many, you know, like you explained to me, and actually found out about it because I'm a customer of CNF, and I saw the poster when I was out there at the bank. And so then as you and I have been talking about what you're doing with the classes and all, you know, we want to reiterate that there are so many different people that you bring on board, that you partner with, that explains these things. There's no obligation. There's no pushing to sell, you know, one particular product or service by anyone that's there. They do it out of the goodness of their heart to teach people. And there's so much information that people learn when they come to these classes that they may have, and that it's not just for first-time homeowners or buyers. It, you know, people that maybe just don't understand the process or they want to refinance and they don't know where to start or where to go, it's a great opportunity to understand all the lingo. And if you're not in it all the time, you definitely don't know all that. And so I know that you're excited about, you know, helping them out and then filling them in on the pieces of information that they don't know.
I really am. I get a lot out of the classes. It's fun for me to sit there and be in that environment twice a month and teach. And pretty much I can tell usually halfway through the classes that we teach when those light bulbs go off
mm-hmm.
from the students that are in the classes and they realize now I get it. I understand. And
mm-hmm.
it's fun to see that. So being able to impact these people's lives in a way that they're going to be able to live a better life by understanding as an informed consumer how to make the right decisions when it comes to purchasing a home or selling their home or refinancing their home, which is normally the biggest transaction in most people's lives, which is home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
They not only understand it for themselves, but they're able to take that information back and share that with their friends, their family members, their colleagues. In my opinion, I think that everybody should have to go through one of these classes if they're a first-time home buyer so they can understand exactly what they're doing. I think the class is that valuable, but I only get to teach it to the ones that volunteer to come.
Right. One more quick question for you before we let go of you. Tell me a little bit about where your thought process is, if you'd like to, about what might happen in our future with interest rates. You know, they're low right now. Should people consider refinancing? What do you feel like, since you're in this all the time, what do you see happening with our economy?
Well, that's a great question. I'll try my best to answer it. I don't pretend to know everything, and I don't have a crystal ball. I will say this. Everything that I've read based off of the industry that I'm in and the people that I talk to indicates that we're in an environment that's never been seen before. Our interest rates are absolutely at the lowest levels that they've ever been in history. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing for consumers, for homeowners, first-time home buyers, and it's a great thing for our economy. The problem is everybody in the industry understands that these rates aren't sustainable. When we talk about what the Federal Reserve has set our Fed fund rate at 0.25% or 0.5%. We understand that the national average is around 4 to 4.5%, and the reason those rates are so low is so that we can continue to improve our economy and get ourselves out of the financial issues that the country's been in for so long over the past 6 or 7 years. So as the stock market increases and the economy starts to do better, as other countries don't do as well, like China and Russia, if you've seen stuff about what's been going on over there in the news, and as gas prices continue to stay low and people start to pretty much stop hibernating and get their homes back on the market to sell because the values have dropped over the past 6-7 years by 35% on the national average, and they've come back up in certain pockets, and Chesterfield is, and Richmond area is one of those pockets where we've gained a lot of what we've lost on the values of our homes over the past couple of years. I think we've gone back to a 22% increase over the past 4 or 5 years in home sales. All those indicators are going to tell us that rates are primed to start rising, and they're going to have to, because if the rates stay where they are today, then the national debt is going to continue to rise, can't continue to print money for free, and give it at a quarter or 0.5% from the Federal Reserve. So once those indicators for the economy are showing, and most of them are, I mean, you can see the stock market from 6 years ago was, the Dow Jones was at right around 8,000 points, and it's up to about 16,000 points now. As the economy gets stronger, rates are going to rise with it. So if people are out there and they're still in the market and they have a high 4% rate all the way up to 5 or 6%, now's the time to take advantage, because if you don't, you're going to lose out. You're going to be sitting on the dock and watching the ship pull away from the harbor. So it's one of those things where you don't want to miss out on an opportunity. So call your lender that you want to talk to if you have one about how they can help you refinance and get those low rates so that you can keep your payments low. Talk to them about your goals and what you're looking to accomplish. Maybe they can get you into a lower term to help you. And if you're a home buyer and you're looking to purchase, now is the best time ever to buy. The values of homes aren't back to where they were, so the deals are still out there to buy. Interest rates are extremely low right now. Take advantage of it because, in my opinion, over the next 12 to 24 months, I personally think that the interest rates are probably going to go up significantly, and people might lose out.
That's amazing. And, of course, we don't know what's going to happen from day to day, but don't dawdle. Don't wait. You know, move along pretty quickly is what you're saying. What's the process when a person decides to refinance? Of course, I know there's a lot of variables there because, you know, some people have things that they have to pay off or things they have to do. But what is the average time frame? If a person had all their ducks in a row and they came to you tomorrow and they wanted to refinance their home, what kind of time frame does it take to make this happen?
Well, everybody's case is different, as we pointed out earlier, and we look at it as a case-by-case basis. But if they did come to the table and they had their income docs in hand and they were ready to complete the application and they were motivated to get locked into an interest rate and take advantage of being able to reduce their payments and maybe reduce their term or whatever they were looking to accomplish, it would probably take right around 25 to 30 days to do a refinance, and that's very, very quick. With us at CNF Mortgage. And I'd love to do it. There are lenders out there, depending upon who you choose, who are backlogged. There are lenders that are out there that have so many people calling because rates are still low and it's taken 60 to 90 days to refinance. So you want to take that into consideration whenever you choose the lender or the service provider that you want to work with, that if you don't want to be in a process for 60 or 90 days, you want to make sure you find somebody that can get it done in less time for you.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate all that you're doing, and I know the community does too, to put out these classes and all the things that you're working towards to educate people and get them more equipped for what they need to prepare for mortgages and refinancing and selling their home and things like that. I have posted on the Facebook page the flyers. I have posted your information, your contact information, your phone number. I'm going to put your email address there as well so people can email you and talk to you. And we want to stay in touch with you and see what else we can do to share good information for people. So I appreciate your time tonight. I know the people that are listening have probably learned a lot, and hope it will encourage them to check out these classes and also to think long and hard about their mortgage and maybe the direction that they're going with their own personal finances.
Well, I appreciate that, Katrina. I had fun talking to you tonight. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the podcast, and as long as I can help, just please give me a call anytime. I'm happy to reach out and talk to anybody individually if they wanted to do a consultation and see how we can help them out, or if they had family members that they wanted to send just to get the education. It's one of those things where you might not be buying a home today. It might be 12 months or 2 years down the road. When you're ready to buy a home. But this is information that you're really going to want to have. So if we can help anybody, we're happy to do it. And thank you so much for having me on.
Well, and thank you. And thank you for your service in years past. And I know you're still serving, but thank you for your service to our country and to help protect our freedoms. I wanted to thank you for that personally.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Katrina.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. We'll talk soon.
You too.
For those
Bye-bye.
Of you, thank you. For those of you that have been listening tonight, we've been interviewing Mr. Perry Shelton, who works for CNF Mortgage. The group has decided, he decided to kind of go off on his own and start doing classes, and he's scheduled evening classes and Saturday classes for people in the Central Virginia area. They can come as far as they want to. It's a free class. No obligation, nothing to push you to purchase, you know, any type of service or anything from him. But he brings in a mirage of people that help you to understand the process, the loan process, the questions that you may have that might be very taxing. I know that's not my cup of tea. I don't do those kinds of things. I know when we got our mortgage for our home, our settlement company that we worked with asked me questions that I had never heard of. And, of course, if you didn't, you know, focus on those kinds of things in school, and then when you get faced with having to answer all these questions, these kinds of people can help you. You can understand the lingo. You can understand even maybe if you did something when you purchased your home that maybe you could go in and change or refinance or make some of this process, you know, more knowledgeable to you, for your children, your grandchildren. It's great to learn these things and also to be able to prepare in case you ever do need to sell or buy or refinance. And so the classes that they've put together are, we've got the flyers on Facebook. If you go to the Facebook page for the Community Journal and also for the Community Radio Program, you'll see the links there. You can download the flyers. It's got all the class schedules, the dates and the times. His email address is pshelton@cfmortgagecorp.com. And phone number is 804-858-8370. So if you missed that, you need me to repeat it again, or just give us a call anytime during the week. We'll be glad to share that with you out there as well. We are going to take a real short break, and I think everybody wants to clear their throat a little bit, and we've got our next guest coming on, which is Mr. Larry Nordvig, who's already in queue and is ready to go. He's a candidate. He is a former Navy commander, and we're really looking forward to talking to him, and he's also excited about his candidacy for the District 2 seat for the Board of Supervisors, and we're going to talk to him in just a minute. So we're going to let everybody get kind of back in gear and get ready to go. We're going to take a real short, quick commercial break, and we'll be right back, so hang tight. If I can find my link here, hang on just 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Are the hills calling your name? At the headwaters of the James River and the foothills of the Allegheny Mountains lies a little place called Clifton Forge, Virginia, and the Red Lantern Inn. Owned and operated by Powhatan's own Rick and Joanne Gideon, the Red Lantern Inn is a 100-year-old overnight accommodation guest home in downtown Clifton Forge, totally renovated with 7 bedrooms and 4.5 baths. Common areas include living room with cable TV, fully stocked kitchen with coffee, tea, and hot chocolate available, laundry facilities, glass-in year-round porch, and media room with big-screen cable TV and free Wi-Fi. The inn can be reserved by individual rooms, suite of 2 rooms, or the entire inn. The Red Lantern Inn is a great place for family reunions or class reunions, wedding parties, and their guests. Visit the inn online for a virtual tour at www.theredlanterninn.com or call 540-797-5000.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We are looking forward to now speaking with Mr. Larry Nordvig, who is from Powhatan, Virginia. He's running for the District 2 seat, which is going to be vacant in just a few days, a couple weeks now. There is the person who is actually serving in District 2 is going to be resigning because there will be a position open for the Commonwealth Attorney, and the District 2 supervisor is running for that office. So he will be resigning, stepping down off the Board of Supervisors, and so therefore there has been a special election called. A lot of people in the community have been a little concerned about having a special election in February for a position that's only for 10 months. But because of the way that our Board of Supervisors is in this community, it is usually a 2-2 vote with the one person deciding that fifth vote. That one person can either start or stop a vote and a decision. They have to have a fifth person to vote, so we can't be without a supervisor for 10 more months. We've got a lot of things going on in Powhatan County. We need a person that is very knowledgeable of the community and the needs of the community and taxes and all of the we won't really want to say drama, but a lot of things that go on in the county that we need to kind of put all those things aside and get serious and get down to business. And so the 10-month seat is a very critical seat because we're getting ready to be faced with a lot of future expenses through the schools, through fire and rescue, through the sheriff's office, through just normal expenses. The normal budget season's coming up. And so the next 10 months is very critical to our community. The election for the Commonwealth Attorney, for all of the Board of Supervisors, the sheriff, and all the constitutional officers is actually coming up in November. So we only have 10 months that we have to cover this position. But this position is a very important position. So I have asked Mr. Nordvig if he would like to be on the show. I want all the candidates to feel the opportunity to be on the show. We'll be contacting the other candidates as well for the next. Mr. Cox has got so much on his schedule. He said that he does not have time to be on the show in the next couple of weeks. So Ms. Timberlake and Mr. Moore may choose to be on to explain their stance, and we want to give everyone equal opportunity to tell who they are, what they plan to run on, and what their goals are for Powhatan County. Mr. Nordvig, thank you for being on the show with us tonight.
Hi, Katrina. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Can you tell us a little bit about you and your experience and why you decided to run for District 2 supervisor?
Sure, I'd be happy to. My background is what qualifies me for the job. It's not just nice to know information for your listeners. This is actually kind of the resume, you know, what makes me competent enough to run for and to administer as a member of the Board of Supervisors. So my background is basically something that gives me transferable job skills from my professional career. that allows me to adapt to the county supervisor job very quickly. And I think that when you hear what I've done in my past, you'll make the connection that I can probably slide into that job and do the learning curve probably faster than just about anybody. I was a U.S. Naval Academy graduate and a naval officer. I served for a total of 12 years of active duty military service. During that time, I learned about leadership in a very demanding and high-pressure environment. I learned what it's like to follow those above me, and so I know how that feels. And just as important, I know what it's like to be in charge of a large group of diverse people with different jobs, different abilities. If you couple that with the fact that I was a naval aviator and an airline pilot with American Airlines, those are jobs that require split-second life-or-death decision-making. And so I think in me you have someone who can work well under pressure and give you a good outcome when the day is done. I would also point out that it's important to note that what I've just described are really government jobs. Of course, the Navy is, and the FAA is so involved with airlines, it's like working a government job. I had to deal with bureaucracy, a lot of red tape, FAA inspections, hazardous materials, blueprints, maps, charts, schematic diagrams, government contracts, in short, all the things that a county supervisor may have to deal with, I have done those things. And I think it's important, considering my opponent's background, to mention that I am a Virginia-certified public school teacher. After years of flying airplanes, I felt like I wanted to make a difference in the lives of others and basically in our nation. And mm-hmm. that's awful hard to do behind a closed cockpit door. So I began substitute teaching for several years in public and private school, and then I went full-time. I got certified. I taught social studies at the high school level for 3 years in Spotsylvania and Hanover counties because they were hiring. Powhatan wasn't at the time, and it was a long drive. I also graduated from the Hanover Administrator Leadership Institute, in which I learned all about public schooling from the perspective of the principal, including shadowing and doing an internship. So in a nutshell, I think all in all, I have a decade of experience as an educator in public, private, even homeschool, and the other things I mentioned about my time in the Navy and airline jobs, et cetera, also a businessman. I think this whole skill set will suit me very well as a county supervisor.
Now, I'm going to ask you a tough question before we get into the particulars, because you know that tough questions sometimes is what helps educate people.
Okay.
One of the things that people always wonder, and this is in every community, no matter where you live, if you weren't born and raised there, and you know where I'm going with this, but, you know, if you weren't born and raised there, people that are born and raised in a community think that you don't count, that you're a come here, you're not part of us. I would like for you to address that topic because
Absolutely. You've
been here in Powhatan for a long time.
Well, I've been here for 8 or 9 years, and I moved from, not Mars. I came from about 2 minutes literally across the Chesterfield County line off Robius Road. Even then, I had Lee Ware as my delegate and John Watkins as my state senator, just like Powhatan, and a lot of the issues we had in common. But let me address a couple things with that. First of all, there is no way that I could have lived my entire life in Powhatan County and been a naval officer because I went all over the world, ditto as an airline pilot. The other thing, too, is you don't choose where you're born. Your parents do that. And
right.
you don't choose where you grow up. Your parents do
right.
that, too. So I don't really see that as a feather in the cap other than it helps you to get to know the community. But having been here, 8 or 9 years and living extremely next door for a total of about 25 years I've been here, it doesn't even take 8 years to make a lawyer or a doctor that's ready for his internship or an IT specialist or even an airline pilot. So I think you can get to know a lot of things in 8 years, and I've been very plugged into the community. So the other point I'd like to make here is I kind of find that whole attitude, I understand it. Virginia is very proud of tradition and history, and Virginians, that, you know, I don't think I'd want to change that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many, many people who are the so-called come-heres, who have come here in the last 8, 10, 12, 15 years, and many of those live in District 2. And as a supervisor, I think it would be tragic to have the opinion that somebody that's lived here for a decade isn't really part of the community. That's really what they're saying.
Right.
My take is, I don't care if you've lived here 50 years or 50 minutes. If you call Powhatan home, you're one of us. And as county
right.
supervisor, I'm going to watch out for you.
I agree. I agree with that. I've seen that happen in so many communities that we've worked with over the years, and people come up with ideas and things of how they can better their community, and that's one of the first things that people want to throw out is, you know, well, you haven't been here your whole life, or you don't know what we're going through, you don't know, you know, and that is so far away from where we need to be focused on as a community. You know, the one thing that concerns me is that, you know, when people feel that way, they many times fail to remember that we have employees that work for the county that don't even live here, or that have been hired from another county and they uprooted their family and purchased a house or whatever and they moved here, and they were good enough to get a job, so why couldn't an elected official be good enough to be hired or be appointed or voted in by the people of the city, of the county too? So I wanted to make that point because I think that this is, you know, this is important for you to share what you're doing, and I want to talk to you about your platform and all, but I wanted to make sure that people understood that that is a very hot topic that sometimes people will just close their mind to, and they won't take that next step and go farther. So I wanted to bring that to everybody's attention.
No, absolutely, and, you know, that we shouldn't be dividers, because that
right.
that attitude divides. It divides
right.
the community into this people and that people. We've had
right.
enough of that in America, frankly. It's time to unite. So everybody that calls Powhatan home, they are, you know, welcome in. You're the neighbor, and you are a full-fledged citizen with equal rights, and you deserve equal attention.
Tell me about your platform and your vision for Powhatan County.
Okay, I'd be happy to. I thought a lot about it before I ran, and I have knocked on a lot of doors and met a lot of people, and it's basically been verifying the gut feeling that I had when I was coming up with a platform. I'm running on three things. First of all, I want to keep Powhatan a great place to live. I love Powhatan. I chose
mm-hmm.
Powhatan to raise my family. There are three things I think we can do better right off the bat. One of them is I'm very strongly in favor of low taxes, and
mm-hmm.
I would really like to take a sharp pencil to our bookkeeping. There's two things we can do. I think we can be more fiscally responsible with the money that we have coming in now. I am not in favor, so if anybody's worried about this, some people hear low taxes and they think, oh, he's going to cut services or whatever. I am not in favor of cutting services or anybody's salary. I don't want to decrease response times from the fire station or anything like that. What I'm talking about is just better management of the money, first of all. And the second point is that I don't think Powhatan is known as being really business-friendly, and that ties in here to a couple of my points, but business friendly is a good thing if managed in a smart way.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring in a clean, quiet business that employs people from Powhatan, and they will help shoulder the tax burden without adding to it. And therefore, residential taxes can come down. There have been, pardon me, other counties. Stafford County has done this. King William worked on this a few years back. There are other counties in Virginia that actually have lowered taxes. And if we don't go that route, I think we could at least increase services for the taxes we pay. I mean, you know, good grief, across the river in Goochland, they're paying 53 cents as a rate, and we're in the 90s. And, you know, we're all on well water. We have no sidewalks, no street lamps. So where's all this money going that Goochland doesn't seem to need? These are questions I think that need to be addressed. So low taxes is first. Property rights is next. I am a big believer in fighting against government overreach. If you don't have property rights, you don't have any rights. Property rights is one of the big three: life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness, the word happiness was actually property in Thomas Jefferson's rough draft of the Declaration. And it is vital that you can control the fruits of your labor, the things that you worked hard for, that's privately owned by you. You should control that to the maximum extent possible. So low taxes, property rights, and the last one is no ugly urban sprawl. I look in toward town along the ice, you know, the Route 60 corridor, and I do not want Powhatan to end up looking like what Route 60 does down by, let's say, Chippenham Parkway in that far. I am not a believer of knocking down every tree and paving over everything. I think you can be business friendly, but you can leave some trees. You know, you can have a developer put up a simple berm with some landscaping bushes or something, nothing draconian that would chase them away, but just something so that when you're driving down Route 60, you think, wow, Powhatan's a really pretty place. This is a really nice place to live and work. And that's all I'm looking for. So low taxes, property rights, and no ugly urban sprawl.
Well, and a lot of people have seen that in your literature about urban sprawl. And, you know, can you emphasize just a little bit more? Because, you know, I had called you and asked you about this question because a lot of people in the community were asking about that. That doesn't mean that you are against development or against growth. Explain a little bit more where you would like to see, as a candidate, the growth to take place, and that you're not against growth.
No, I'm not against growth at all. As a matter of fact, I've sat down with two developers just within the last 2 weeks to discuss these issues, and it was great. And I also talked to several, probably a dozen small business owners in Powhatan County to get their take on all this. So I am definitely not a no-growth guy, and that won't work anyway, because we're on the edge of Richmond Metro, and Powhatan is going to grow. You know, we can either close our eyes and take our hands off the wheel and just let it happen, which some communities do, and it's very, very destructive, or we can grow smart, and that's what I want to do. So in direct answer to your question, let me give you an example. You know, where is Powhatan going to grow? Well, a no-brainer is along Route 60. There's just no question Anderson Highway is the main artery through the county. So let's take that for an example. I talked to a gentleman, I won't say the name, but I talked to a gentleman about 2 weeks ago, met him in the donut shop, and we chatted for about 10, 15 minutes, and he would like to bring his small manufacturing business into Powhatan County. And he would employ 30, perhaps 40 people. He likes local hires because they show up for work on time. And what he would do is put up a small business, let's say, like similar to Weight Pack that's on Anderson Highway. I asked him, okay, do you need a stoplight? No. Do you need a turn lane? No, because that's about $150,000 from the county.
Right.
And I said, how many trucks are you going to roll in and out of there every day? And he said, two a week going to North Carolina. And, you know, is any belching smokestacks or noise? No. That's the kind of growth that Powhatan needs right now, because we have way too much residential compared to commercial. So I would emphasize the growth would be very simple, clean, nothing that I would want to knock out the mom-and-pop shops, and that would, you know, again, decrease the tax burden on the residents. And then as far as other zoning, well, the Board of Supervisors are going to have to look at the map of Powhatan and hash out exactly where they want to see, you know, residential and how many acres. And that involves a whole new set of issues because you're dealing with federal guidelines, state guidelines, mandatory regulations passed down federal and state. So that is a longer discussion than we have time for tonight, but I hope that gives you some idea.
Right, right. And that helps tremendously because it helps, I think it helps the listeners to hear what you've been focused on and learning, and also because if you are voted in for this position, these are the questions that you're going to be facing. These are the projects that you're going to be facing in the future. This is right here, right now. When you get in office, if you get in office, you're going to be going to work immediately. So it's no training. So
right.
It sounds like you've been very busy with this. It's, speaking of busy, what have you been doing during your campaign?
Well, I'll tell you in just a second, but you just reminded me. I want to kick in here. My grandfather was a developer. He was a carpenter, then contractor, developer, commercial and residential. And I just wanted to kick in. I actually worked for him in the summers and basically, you know, lived with my grandparents for about a month or two during the summers and did everything from swing a hammer and carry shingles up to the roof to looking at blueprints and looking at you know, plats and reviewing proffers and all kinds of things. And I saw what my grandfather did on a day-to-day basis. So I do have quite a bit of experience in the area of development, and I just thought I'd kick that in. All right, I will answer your question. What have I been doing during the campaign? What I've mostly been doing is meeting with the people of Powhatan face-to-face. I've been going door-to-door. I've been listening to their ideas, their concerns, their likes, their dislikes. I've done a couple of meet and greets. My favorite one, by the way, was at the donut shop. That was fun. But I prefer to go out to the people where they live because it's a much more comfortable setting for them when they're on their own doorstep, and sometimes they invite me in. They really open up to me and let me know what's on their mind. And that's been most of what I've been doing. I already mentioned I've been meeting with developers, business owners, many, to get their perspective, what their needs are. And I've spoken to several supervisors, not only from here in Powhatan, but also surrounding counties, to get their take on what works and what doesn't. So that's been taking up most of my time.
I'm sure. And it's a lot of people. What is the population rate in District 2? Do you know?
Well, the registered voters number about 3,700 something. And that's a lot of people. So
yeah.
I'm trying to meet as many registered voters as I can.
What can the listeners do to help you in your campaign?
Well, for one thing, you can feel free to contact me. You can get on my website. I'll give you that right now. It's LarryNordvig.com. It's LarryNordV, like in Victor, IG.com. There is a contact tab on there. So feel free to you know, send a message to me. And I get those directly into my email box, so I'll see them as soon as you send them. So people can give me their ideas. You know, like I said, their concerns, likes, dislikes, whatever they'd like. That would be one way to help my campaign because I need to know. If I'm to be the voice of the people, I need to know what's on their minds. The other thing you can do is you can volunteer. If what you've been hearing sounds good to you and you'd like to pitch in and be part of the team, there's a volunteer tab on that website. I'd be happy to give you a job to do. I definitely would put you to work. And, of course, you know, the old commercial advertisement, if you will, campaigns cost money. And, you know, when you get a flyer in the mail or anything, gasoline to come to your house and meet with you or whatnot, that all costs money. So if you feel moved to donate, we have a donate tab on there, too. So these are some of the ways you could help the campaign. And talk it up. Word of mouth is the best advertisement.
You know, February is a really hard time to run for office because you have no idea what February 10th is going to hold, if it's going to be pouring the snow or 3 feet of snow or sleet or ice, or you just don't know.
No.
It's got to be very nerve-wracking.
I usually, well, in a couple of ways it is. it's exhilarating at the same time. It's a very compressed campaign because, you know, I don't think I didn't really start running, so to speak, until December sometime. And you have the holidays in there, which takes that time pretty much away. You know, you get the, the buffer around Christmas and you got New Year's. And so really it's a sprint to the finish line, January and the first 9 days of February. And on the 10th, you find out who breaks the tape first. And, you know, as far as the weather, it not only affects election day, it also affects, you know, if you schedule a meet and greet or if you're going door to door or whatever. January, February are tough. It's tough to get volunteers to come out when it's, you know, very cold or windy or raining or whatever. So it's a real challenge. I usually end my talks with people at the doorstep by saying, okay, remember, February 10th, rain or shine, you know, and they give a little smile like, I hope it's not an ice storm. So there you go.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, and there's one thing that I want to ask you. What happens if, and I'm sure you've already asked this question to the registrar, what happens if we're in the middle of a major blizzard? Does everything get called off, or does it move on forward no matter what?
Well,
Have you asked that question? Well,
from what I read, I did not ask the question of our county registrar, and, you know, probably because I'm afraid of the answer. But from what I read, only in extreme cases is an election canceled. So, you know, extreme cases, I don't know, as far as weather. You know, obviously if a polling place, you know, caught on fire and burnt down or something the night before the election, that would probably be a reason to cancel. Hopefully that won't happen because my polling place is a fire station. But, you know, I don't know who makes the call on how bad, you know, weather has to be before that election goes away. So why don't we think bright and sunny thoughts and just pray that, you know, that'll be a day with dry roads and safe conditions.
I agree. What one more final question.
Sure.
What makes you, and I'm going to ask the other candidates the same thing, what makes you a better choice than Ms. Timberlake, who is your running opponent?
Okay. I'd have to say it comes down to a general worldview. I've been reading my opponent's literature and that kind of thing. I would say she's the more liberal candidate, and I'm the more conservative candidate. So that, in my mind, is a very big difference. By conservatism, I mean holding on to the things that we know that work, staying close to constitutional government, and applying these to future issues. I'm also, I think, the fiscal conservative in the race. I don't believe in spending money that we don't have. I don't believe in throwing money at problems and thinking you fix something. A lot of people know that I'm the vice chairman of the GOP out here in Powhatan, and therefore I subscribe to the Virginia Republican Creed. So I'm a big believer in free enterprise, fiscal responsibility, individual liberties. I'm strong on defense, strong on supporting police and first responders. And I will say it openly, I also am a believer that belief in God and morality in society are indispensable. So did our founding fathers. So, you know, that's part of the not only Virginia Republican Creed, but my personal belief. I am a Christian. I can give you one example directly. My opponent supported the recent supplemental retirement program issue that was quite controversial, even made the downtown papers. She argued for it, at least in the case of Dr. Mira, when I heard that there was a legal opinion that stated that Dr. Mira was ineligible for the program. I mean, a lawyer saying she's illegally in it, she's ineligible for the program, I wanted to hit the pause button right there, find out more, and as the facts unfolded, stop the unlawful payment of $400,000 of your taxpayer money. That money should go to teachers and students, not programs that are proven illegal. And, in fact, the Board of Supervisors did away with that program. So I think I was proven right in that case. What else? I'm definitely the stronger of the two on protecting individual liberties and property rights. I have a very strong track record as an activist in protecting against government overreach. And I would say, as you know, a political commentator on Fox News, CBS, CNN, radio, most major newspapers, I've had access to politicians. I've been in hearings on Capitol Hill. I've been involved in staff meetings with not only speakers of the House or majority leaders, but also minority leaders, and both in Senate and Congress, and also downtown in Richmond. So really, from every level, from local to federal government, I have been able to get a good feel for how politics works and how it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess those are a few of the differences that come to mind. I just think I bring more to the table.
Right. Well, we are looking forward to February 10th to be a beautiful day, to be a day where all the voters will come out, because we have a countywide election, not just District 2. We also need to get the voters out for the whole community, because we have a Commonwealth Attorney's race coming along. So I know that a lot of people are very stressed running their campaigns and doing a whole lot and praying that the weather's going to show up the right way, and that the voters are going to show up and be a happy camper and vote the right way that they're hoping that they will. And we're looking forward to seeing you at Candidates Night, which will be next Thursday night. We will be airing live Candidates Night on our radio program next week. And so we're looking forward to meeting you there and in hearing more about what you have to offer for the county. And so Candidates Night is 7, is it 7 o'clock?
7 p.m. That's what they told me. I hope they're right.
Right,
yep.
Right. I was making sure I had it right. I didn't have my flyer pulled up, but I was making sure 7 p.m. at the Village Building on Route 13 in Powhatan in the Village. So we're really looking forward to seeing you there, Mr. Nordvik, and we appreciate you being on the show tonight and sharing so much with us about your campaign and what you're doing and what your plans and goals are for Powhatan County. One more quick question. If you, by chance, win or lose, are you going to run again in November?
Yes. And, well, the win or lose part, it depends on why. If I were to lose, and I hope not, it depends on why.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I'd have to reexamine the whole thing, of course.
Right.
But,
right.
No, I do intend this to be more than a temporary,
eight-month
job or whatever.
Right.
And,
right.
And let me just kick in real quick, too. They told me to be there around 7, but I'm not sure that's the official start time, so you better recheck that.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you the wrong thing.
I will. It may be a little bit later than that, but I'll find out for sure.
Okay.
We look forward to meeting you on Thursday night and to seeing you around the community. Thank you so much for being on the radio program tonight. We'll continue to send people out your email address, your web address, and how they can get in touch with you.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity, Katrina. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot. Have a great evening.
Okay. Good night now.
Good night. Mr. Larry Nordvik is running for the District 2 supervisor position for Powhatan County. If you'd like to get more information about him and his campaign, please visit www.LarryNordvig, and that's NordVig.com. You can find his information there, what his platform is, how to connect with him. If you want to ask him questions, he's more than willing to sit down with you and talk to you about anything and everything that he has got concerns of for Powhatan County. And he is very willing to talk to people. That's one good thing that we need from, I think, a characteristic that we need from all of our supervisors. You know, when they get voted into office, whatever level that they're at, whether they are the treasurer or the sheriff or a supervisor or a school board member, you know, the one thing I think a lot of politicians and elected officials forget, that they are just an elected position. They are owned, basically, by the citizens. We pay their paychecks. They actually work for us. A lot of times people get on their throne after they get elected to an office, and they forget that. They forget that they actually have to be subjective, to the people, and that the people are the ones that should have the opportunity to ask them those hard questions, hold their feet to the fire, make sure they do things professionally and the right way. I will tell you, I think elected officials might need to back up and reevaluate their social media and what they say out online. that could come back to bite them one day. And that's all I'm going to say on that topic, because our next guest is waiting in the wings, and I don't want him to know that we have such issues in our community. I tell you, I really am looking forward to this coming election. And for those of you that are listening tonight, mark it on your calendar. If you don't know, I'm sure you have. I'm sure you wonder why all these signs are all up and down the road, for those of you that are listening in our local area. But February 10th is the special election. I don't know. I'm praying for a blizzard that day. But I'm praying for a blizzard this weekend, too, when it's supposed to snow here on Saturday. One of the guests that we have on now in just a couple of minutes is not a snow bug, and he's actually hoping that the week of February 2nd or whatever the week is there, that he is not going to have a foot of snow to walk through. Mr. Sharp, are you with me tonight?
I'm here.
Are you praying for snow this Saturday?
No. I'm praying for spring.
I hate to tell you, but we haven't had winter yet.
I don't know. It's been pretty cold here for a while.
It really has. Thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. And don't worry, if it snows here in Virginia and you don't get any in your neck of the woods in North Carolina, we will definitely bring you a bucket or two.
That's okay. I appreciate your
thought. Can keep it. We can keep it. Is that what you're saying?
You can keep it.
Well, those of you that listen to us on the radio all the time and follow us on a regular basis, you know that tonight we are talking to Mr. Terry Sharp, that we've been able to interview many times before in the past couple of months on his walk to Washington to help bring awareness to Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi's release. And there's been so much that's gone on in the past couple of months through that, and Andrew is now in therapy and getting some rehab, and I know y'all have been in touch with his mom. How is Andrew doing?
As far as I know, he's doing well. He was at the State of the Union address the other night on the front row so Mr. Obama could see him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's doing fine.
I wonder who invited him there, or did he just decide to go on his own?
No, the congressman from California.
Really?
Congressman Hunt. Is that who his name is? He was invited as a guest from him.
Isn't that something? How the president felt. Wonder how the president felt when he looked down on that seat and saw that boy sitting there.
I doubt if he bothered him one bit. I don't think it bothered him.
We could talk about that all night, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could.
Well, tonight I want to talk to you about another walk that you're getting ready to do. The issue is now about King, North Carolina. Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on, which is not but, 80 or 90 miles from you, not too far away from where you live?
No, it's only 35.3 miles.
Oh, 35 miles. Okay, so not too far. Tell me a little bit about what happened in King, North Carolina.
Well, King, North Carolina, at the Veterans Memorial there in King, had a Christian flag that was flying and a kneeling soldier in front of a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And this started back in 2010 when this atheist sued him for having, a flag flying, a Christian flag flying. And, of course, the town is a small town, and they could only fight for so much, and ACLU, of course, they are a pretty big outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't beat them, so they spent several thousand dollars in legal fees, and then ended up to ACLU sued them. They got $500,000 out of them, so the town had to take the flag down. Well, recently, they sued again for the kneeling soldier with the cross. So they had to remove the kneeling soldier with the cross because they couldn't afford to keep fighting the ACLU because it's such a small town, they don't have the funds for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
now,
they removed
go ahead.
They removed the kneeling soldier in front of the cross last
mm-hmm.
week. So that's gone. So they don't have the Christian flag flying or the kneeling soldier with the cross there. And it's, you know, we're not going to be able to change it, put it back, because it's the separation of church and state, according to the lawyers, according to the Constitution. But I think they have stretched, they've moved the Constitution around to fit their means, because I think the Founding Fathers didn't have that in mind. So it's going to be a rally this 7th of February at the memorial
mm-hmm.
in protest of the removal of the flag and the kneeling soldier. And it seems to be, it's going to be a pretty good crowd.
The cemetery, it's a veteran, is it a state veteran cemetery?
No, it's not a cemetery, it's a memorial.
Just
it's
a memorial, okay. So
yes,
is,
it's a memorial.
It's on what properties? County property?
It's on the city property.
On the city property.
Yes. So that's why they can have it removed, because don't want to offend the atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one person can change the whole thing.
Isn't that amazing?
And he did. So it's just a protest to show solidarity to the town. The town
mm-hmm.
didn't want it removed. It's just that one atheist person that caused all this problem. But it's just going to be a solidarity thing. You know, there's going to be a lot of people coming up there in support of the town.
It really is. Now, on February 7th at 10 o'clock in the morning is when they're going to have the rally there at the memorial, at the monument there. And you and Mr. Brown have decided that you are going to walk there and not drive there. So tell us a little bit about what your plans are. You're going to walk to King, North Carolina.
Well, it's like I said, it's only 35 miles from my house here, so we'll just walk. Starting Thursday morning, we'll walk 15. Then Friday morning, we'll walk another 15. And then Saturday morning, we'll walk the last five
mm-hmm.
to the memorial
mm-hmm.
for the gathering.
Right.
And it's winter time. I don't want to walk too far to begin with. In the cold. Now, Alan, he wanted me to walk from the south of Boston. I said, no. That's a week worth of walk there, buddy.
That's right. You are going to start from your place in Summerfield.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, yes, you're going to walk, and you're hoping to bring even more awareness. That's why you decided to walk. You're going to bring more awareness to this project and this memorial and what has happened, to also try to bring awareness to these kinds of issues across America and what people could be faced with. We are going to set up a Facebook page to follow you and your event, and also a page on the Community Journal website, just like we did before, so people can follow you and can stay abreast of what's going on and to build this. But when you get there, who else is supposed to be there? Tell us a little bit about that.
What I understand is it's an organization called 2 Million Bikers DC and
mm-hmm.
NC. I think North Carolina chapter of it. It seems to me they have a whole lot of people that's involved with this organization. I think they've had a rally there once before.
Mm-hmm.
There was over 5,000 people there. So what I'm seeing there on the Facebook, it's over 400 showing they're going to go now. And then, of course, you have all the townspeople who
mm-hmm.
will show up. So it's going to be a big rally
at
the memorial. So I'm not sure the news people will be there filming this and for the news. So, you know, just let people know that. You know, it's just not right to take down the kneeling soldier in front of a cross.
I know.
Or the Christian flag. You know, I mean,
right.
It doesn't. it offends the atheists, well, don't go look at it. You know, just don't go.
Right.
I don't understand why it's such a big problem with them.
And it is offensive to us as Christians and patriots in America to have the flag taken down and have this soldier that's been kneeling at the cross taken down. You know, but it seems like in our country that we live in the land of the offended anyway, that when the majority is not necessarily offended, you know, and I hate that word, actually, because, you know, it seems like the left side and the liberals are always offended about something. But it's an insult and disrespect. What about all of the other people on the other side? You know, we have to change everything because one person is, quote unquote, offended. Something's got to give in this country.
Yeah, it's one person that caused this problem to live there. He don't live out there. He moved out of town.
And moved
but
out
he
of town.
Was a, he moved out of town. But he was a soldier who served in Afghanistan. And he was offended by it. So, of course, he started a lawsuit. And, of course, they couldn't afford to keep fighting the lawsuit, so they had to give up. And I just think that I don't understand why it has to change everything for everybody. You know,
right.
Just a small amount of people can change something like that, then it's we're getting into bad shape here. I mean, it's an attack on Christianity. It's, you know, we're just being attacked on all fronts now.
It seems like it's getting worse. And
it's
happening quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's coming fast. It's coming as quick. So.
Well, we're going to keep following you. We're going to watch you. You're going to start walking on February the 5th. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to leave here early February the 5th and get to 15 miles. I hope it's not going to kill us too bad. We don't have much of a road to walk on here. We're going up 158 west to 65 west to 66 north.
Mm-hmm.
It's all two lane and no shoulder. So it's not going to be an easy walk. That's the reason I'm going to put 3 days at it.
Right. In case something happens, right. And, you know, a blizzard, we might have a blizzard, so you might be walking in your snow boots.
Ooh, don't say that.
Well, I don't ski, so I can't loan you any ski shoes.
I hope it don't snow enough yet. I hope it's a dry, I hope it's a nice warm 56 today. You know, that's not
well,
a bad
we sure did have, we had it this week, so, you know, anything's possible, but you know how it
that's
is on
true.
The East Coast.
Yeah, and it could be a really bad 3 days. You know, I just hope it's decent weather so all the people can come. It's just, from looking at the Facebook, they're coming out of Virginia and South Carolina and all around. So it'd be nice. It's good weather. A lot of people riding motorcycles. They're brave people. So.
They are. I've seen people, you know, on a day that looked a little bit overcast, and they decided to risk it, you know, and take a nice little ride. And then I've seen them, you know, with the plastic bag over them and riding in the rain, you know. So hopefully it'll turn out good since you got hopefully 2 million bikers coming. That's a lot of people, a lot of bikes,
well,
and nobody wants to be wet either.
I don't think it'd be 2 million coming. That's just the name of the group, and I guess they may have 2 million. People, it's all over the United States.
Hey, I
that'd
tell
be
you,
a big crowd.
It would, but we keep on spreading the word. You never can tell, can you?
No, you never can. But you know, we need to get people more involved than they are. So, France really showed us up. So that upset me.
Well, we've got to stay focused on getting the word out to the people. That's for sure.
That's true. That's the main thing. So.
Well, we're going to keep following you.
There are some people that's not going to quit. I'm not quitting.
Right. I'm not quitting either. We've got too much work to do. We can't quit now. And we're going to let the people know that are listening to the show tonight how they can follow you. We'll have a link on the communityjournal.us website So we will let everybody know how to follow you and also to get involved, and we'll continue to share this information about Remembering King, North Carolina. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday, February the 7th at 10 a.m., and it's open to the public, anybody and everybody. You don't have to ride a motorcycle or walk there. You can drive there. They want more, as many people as possible, to come and show their support. Am I right, Mr. Sharp?
That's right. That's what it's all about, to show the support for the Christian flag and the soldier.
Right. Well, we're going to keep on sharing this information, and you get plenty of rest. You're going to need it. And sounds like you and Mr. Brown have a lot of walking yet ahead of you. So you keep your ears open for other avenues where you can. We don't want you walking to California or anything like that, though. So,
no, I'm not going to do that. Washington is a stretch.
That was.
But I know how to get. I know how to get there.
And then you did it twice. You didn't do it just once. You did it twice.
Yeah, first time wasn't enough. So.
Well,
but, you know,
you're an inspiration to everyone that's watching you and listening to you, and we appreciate, as citizens, your willingness to be out there and continuing to keep your voice heard and to walk for the people of America. That's what you're doing. You're walking for us and for people that can't walk or are not able to walk. You're setting a huge example in front of so many people, and we appreciate it very much. That proves what kind of person you both are and what your goal is to continue to stand for the right and to help protect our freedoms and what you fought for all those years ago and that you're still fighting in this way now. We appreciate your undying love for the country and the citizens of this country.
It's our honor to do it, so
we feel honored to be able
to do it.
Well, you get your rest. And get prepared now. It'll be a week or so, week and a half from now, or I guess it's almost, 2 weeks now? For 2 weeks from today, you'll be starting to walk. So hopefully you'll be ready to roll.
I hope so. I just hope it doesn't snow.
All right. Well, we'll hold off praying that week.
All right.
All right. Well, you take care. And thanks a million, Mr. Sharp. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you, and y'all have
thank
a blessed
you.
Night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
For those of you that have been listening to the show tonight, we've had Mr. Sharp on. We were just so excited to talk to him again this evening about the next walk that they're getting ready to make for King, North Carolina. You know, it is sickening to see what has happened in this city. And if you missed part of his interview, in King, North Carolina, the city there was sued by a resident who was an atheist who wanted the Christian flag taken down at the monument, a Christian flag there, and then they had a soldier kneeling at a cross there at the monument, and this same person decided to sue the city again. And because of all of this that has gone on over the past 4 years, just last week, now the city has had to take down this soldier that is just a silhouette of a soldier kneeling down at a cross. And, you know, the cross represents a gravestone, basically. You know, in a lot of veteran cemeteries and a lot of places, you see, a burial would not be a normal headstone or a man-made headstone. It might be a man-made cross out of natural materials, or it could have been out of stone, you know, in more modern years, but this silhouette was basically a piece of plywood that had been cut with this soldier kneeling down at the cross, kneeling down at this gravesite. And because this one person was offended, now the city has had to take this down. So there's going to be a rally there of people. They want patriots and people coming from all over. You don't have to walk there. Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown don't live very far away from there. I think you said it's like 37 miles. So they've decided to walk and bring awareness, walk down the side of the road and carry those flags. They will be carrying the American flag, the Marine flag, and the Christian flag to let people know that they support the Christian flag flying and also this Memorial, and they're going to walk, and then people from all over the country are planning to come there February the 7th at 10 o'clock in the morning to show their support. There's a number of speakers that have already been set up that are going to have already been lined up to come and speak and to let the city know that they are supportive of them. The city did not want to take this down, but they felt like that they didn't have a choice because they couldn't afford the lawsuits that were coming their way. This is happening all over America. Everywhere you look, everywhere you hear in the news, you read online, you read in the newspapers, that when people feel like that they're offended over something, the first thing they want to do is to sue and then have these things taken out. There's one reason why we run the Ten Commandments on the front page of the journal, because they can't take that away from us. And our freedoms are being taken away one at a time here in our country, and we all need to stand up together to fight for these freedoms and fight for our religious freedom and our freedom to be able to serve God, trust God, worship God, and also be able to have these symbols that do show that we are a Christian nation. So pray for the people that are planning this event, February the 7th at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you go to the Facebook page and you just type in King, North Carolina, you'll see there is a Facebook page already there where people, you know, are signing up to go and things like that. And if nothing else, watch Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown. We will follow them just like we did before with their walk. We'll follow them on the Community Journal website page, and that is www.thecommunityjournal.us. We'll have a special page there loaded for them in the next day or so, and then you can start following them. If you would like to get in touch with us anytime during the week, our number is 804-598-9301. We appreciate Mr. Perry Shelton from CNF Mortgage on with us tonight. We appreciate Mr. Larry Nordvig on from Powhatan, Virginia, and he is running for the District 2 supervisor seat here in Powhatan. And we appreciate Mr. Sharp being on the phone with us tonight and talking to us about this event that's coming up, and how we as citizens can work together to hold these freedoms close to us and to fight for them and to work together as patriots to continue to keep our country strong. Mr. Sharp said that Mr. Tamarisi, Andrew Tamarisi, was sitting there on the front row during the presidential speech the other night. I would love to know what the president thought when he looked down at that young man that he let sit over there in that Mexican prison for months and months and wouldn't do anything about, wouldn't even come out when Mr. Sharp and Mr. Brown walked all the way from North Carolina to Washington and read their letter, and they knew good and well that they were walking that far, two Vietnam veterans that gave their lives and they sacrificed so much to go and fight for this country. And yet he wouldn't even come out of the White House and talk to these men. And all of the calls and all of the begging and pleading from the family and people from this whole country, I wonder how our president felt the other night. I did not know he was there. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. But I tell you, Mr. Sharp sharing that with us tonight, if that doesn't give you chills, we have some serious issues in this country that we need to really pray about, and we really need to focus on cleaning up. So we're going to continue to do our part on the radio program and in the journal, and we appreciate your support, your prayers, your love, your information that you send us to share with all of your friends and neighbors. We thank you for your continual encouragement that you give us along the way. And we will continue to pray for you as our neighbors, that we will all continue to stand strong and work together to build a great United States of America once again. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed evening.
I thank my God above to be living here. 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit on down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time